May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Before this past Monday, I had a pretty good mock-up of what I was going to say tonight. I was going to say something eloquent about how we feast on Christ by faith when we gather around his table according to his command. I was going to pull out a cool quote about frequent communion from John Wesley, and he's, of course, that wonderful bridge figure between our Episcopal and Methodist traditions. And maybe I was even going to say something about how our shared Holy Week services that we do model Christ's mandate that we just heard, to love one another. The word mandate itself being the root of Maundy in the phrase Maundy Thursday. But then the news about the Cathedral of Notre Dame burning to the ground flashed across phones and TV screens worldwide. How do we make sense of such a tragedy? How will our Roman Catholic brethren in Paris worship this Holy Week? How are we to absorb something so impactful in a meaningful way, yet still keep the triduum, the three big events, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, that form the turning point of human history on the Christian calendar? Most people have been saying kind words. People of no faith or different faiths have typically expressed shock at the devastation of such an important piece of France's cultural heritage falling to the ground. People of the Christian faith have generally expressed sorrow over the loss of this cathedral as a place of worship and inspiration of faith as it has been for so many centuries. But there were still some anti-religious people and non-Christians who have expressed a good riddance attitude about this tragedy. I suppose that's to be expected in some ways. People who value truth, even if what they think is true is actually wrong, often enjoy a little schadenfreude, a little serves them right thinking, when the people that they think are wrong get what they perceive as their comeuppance. But how much worse it is when fellow sisters and brothers in Christ express things like, "It was a temple to a false god anyway," or, "That's what God does to those who harbor pedophiles." Christians said this. That's not the kind of thing Jesus would do. When he came to Jerusalem and saw how wrong they were, not believing he's the Messiah, living hypocritically, spurning the last, the least, and the lost in order to make themselves look righteous, our Lord didn't wish them ill. Jesus wept. He cried for their souls, longing to gather them like a mother hen with its brood, but they would not. Nabil Qureshi, the late Christian apologist who converted from Islam, talked about how when he really came to believe in Jesus from the bottom of his heart, he found his outlook on people around him changed. He saw a man across the street from where he was, and the first thought in his mind was, "That's a soul that Jesus died to save." Do I see others that way? Do you? A soul Jesus shed his precious blood to save, not just a foil to our never-ending pursuit to be considered right, Thankfully, I saw some other responses. I was caught off guard, as my wife Kelly can attest, when watching the news on Tuesday. CBS had their usual eye-opener clips that they have that kind of give you the preview of the headlines of the day. And at the end, they had a clip of a crowd of people watching the cathedral burn there in Paris, but spontaneously singing a hymn right there on the streets of Paris. I couldn't keep back the tears. Sure, the tune was definitely melancholy. It's not like you'd bust out with something joyful in that moment. But seeing and hearing people honoring our Lord, even in the midst of tremendous loss, touched me in a way that I just can't explain. Once we were singing on key to boot. I don't believe God wants to bring devastation to us. Jesus said that when the people who died in the Tower of Siloam in his day, when it collapsed, they didn't die because they were somehow worse sinners than the rest of us. Living in the sin-soaked world that we do, bad things happen to everyone, with no regard to some people's relative holiness or lack thereof. But there's an odd serendipity to this moment that happened in France. Between the timing of the fire here at the beginning of Holy Week and the fact that no lives were lost, plus many of the more important religious artifacts that were saved, I can't help but wonder if the Holy Spirit might be inviting us to look at this moment in a way other than just a sad tragedy on one hand or just desserts on the other. Is our Father in heaven opening our eyes to something more profound? So, I tried to open my eyes. And here's what I saw. I saw a sky view of a building in the shape of a cross on fire. During the week when we honor our Savior's deepest suffering, at the same time, no lives were lost. I couldn't help but think of the flames of pain on the cross that racked our Savior. Pain bore for our sake, while we ourselves were spared such torture and death. I saw the bravery of priests and other clergy and first responders working double time to rescue precious artifacts from the flames, just like our Savior put himself in harm's way to rescue us because we are precious to him. I saw the terrible reality of a burnt-out shell of a cathedral, but marveling that the main structure itself still stood, even the rose window, reminding me that if I build on the sure foundation of Christ and buttress my faith with the Word of God, no flaming arrow of the enemy can ultimately tear me down because of the hope of being rebuilt, a resurrection hope. It still remains. I may lose some things in this life if I choose to build with things that are subject to the vicissitudes of this fallen world, but that which is true will remain. When Jesus invites his disciples to eat and drink his body and his blood at the Last Supper that he had with them before his crucifixion, he invites them into a burning building. Our Savior is burning with love for us. Our Lord is burning with suffering under the flames of our sin, Satan's schemes, and death's gaping maw. The friend of sinners is burnt by the betrayal of one friend and the fleeing backs of other friends. Yet he still invites us to the hottest party in town, to eat and drink from the promise of life eternal with him, to be strengthened for the journeys that we face as we feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving, as the words from our Episcopal Communion service implore us. Jesus gave himself as the feast for our souls, the sacrifice for our sins, and the victory we simply couldn't win. And when I see the tragedy of Notre Dame, I am reminded of the tragedy that this night was about to become for the disciples after the bread was eaten and the wine was gone. But I'm also reminded that Jesus turned tragedy into triumph when he rose from the dead. And the fact that Notre Dame still stands, damaged, but still there, that is a sign of hope to me, that Jesus can rescue anything or anyone and begin the process of cleaning up and rebuilding even the most burnt out shell of a life, if we simply come to Jesus by faith. So, eat the bread of life and drink the cup of salvation tonight. We have a long journey of restoration ahead of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.